continue to do what he's been saying, which is to practice presence. David probably wrote a lot of what he wrote through a limited, what he said was absolutely correct because it was the Holy Spirit. But he was writing what he wrote through limited access because he was looking at it through a veil of the flesh. And even what he would write and admire, he could only see so far. But he can see it completely now because he's like you and I. But now we look back. What he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. For David, it was a getting to the temple or getting inside, getting to a particular locale. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. I sit my feet in the house of God by day and by night. But for us who look back and admire those same scriptures, we know that the dwelling place, the habitation. So what is a habitation? It's a created place inside of you. Not all Christians have it. All Christians have the capacity. They have the capacity. There's a difference between having the capacity and furnishing the room. Furnishing the room takes practice. It takes courting. What's courting? It's when you used to pick up your date, which became your girlfriend, which became your fiance, which became your lifelong mate. It's a continual courtship. And while you're doing it, you're creating a place where on a daily and moment-by-moment basis, you can slip in to a place where it's a habitation. Now, that habitation will go past. It'll eventually go past you, if it's strong enough, into a location. You remember the guys that I was telling you about that I prayed for on the bikes? They felt the habitation that was in me. A habitation will follow one of these all the way across the country. A habitation. One time I was with Dave and we were in between services at the prayer center. And nobody was in the building. He said, come out here. Come here. You want to feel something? We walked out. And he opened the door. And we had to go through two doors to his office. And the lights were about like this. And he said, feel this. It was like what you feel now. You know, that's here. And it's here all the time. God will just camp out in a place. He wants to camp out in you first. Now here's instruction. This is unusual because you hardly ever start a service and start talking about another service. That's unusual. But this Friday night, what we'll be doing is following instruction by the Holy Spirit to go forward with where we were at this past Friday night, the one that's coming. And we'll come in and all we'll do is sit in a habitation of His presence. Begin to worship. Are you going to start these? No, I'm just hearing this one. Just start. Just do this. And this was the instruction that He wanted me to tell you. A couple of things. One, anybody that wanted to attend, of course, can. Two, please do it on a voluntary basis. Like, don't feel like you're obligated to come. I'm not trying to curtail anybody. I can just tell you how this best works. Worship works best when it's all on your part, wanting to approach Him. That's how it works. The other thing, too, is, and this was part of the specific instruction, if anybody that's coming or the people that are coming, if you really wanted to get the juice of the matter, if you'd please fast at least one day this week prior to, If you couldn't, that's okay. You could still come. But He wanted to soften the flesh and get you ready for whatever He wants to do. And as far as I know, we'll start at 7:30, 7:45, and we'll just go right into the night if necessary. But He's taken us to a place He's never taken us before. And when I hear specific instructions, I don't care if it's to say we're going to have a 2 o'clock service this afternoon or 3 o'clock, 3 a.m. on Monday. I'm just, you guys know that I'll do what He says. Hallelujah. Because you want to be a part of it too. Hallelujah. So we're going forward. It won't be a time to visit. Friday night won't be a fellowship time. It'll be a soaking time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So aren't you glad you got an invitation this morning? Glory.
Yes.
So in that sense, He interrupted you to say, keep doing what you're doing. Hallelujah. So let's just worship this morning. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We worship You,
oh,
Lord.
Mande.
Oh, how we love and adore
it's
You.
Stelo fremando cle. Oh. Penschkele rosso. Heli mendeos, Joe. Oh, pele fristi mensti. Pala clese. Etiesti mando. Know this, that when a standard of excellence is revealed by My Word and saturated to the ears of the hearer, and an awareness of a desire by the Spirit to bring you higher, and when things of Spirit are taught and understood, to understand this, even as I place that standard within you, that you must always rely with everything in you that I am the one, and I am the one only who changes you from glory to glory, saith the Spirit of grace. For the enemy and the flesh will take a message like this way and even use it against you and your senses to present yourself by yourself and in your strength unknowingly in your best efforts. But know this, that it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by My strength, saith the Spirit of grace. Oh, la classe day. You cannot change you by looking at you. Not for a moment. Not even a glimpse to look back and to see if that part has changed. Know this, that human effort cannot change you. Nor do I take delight in it. But know this, I take delight in the one who gives themselves over to Me, knowing that their total dependency is not upon them attaining to a standard, but upon Me working My grace in them towards that standard of truth, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank You, God.
Glory.
Thank You, God.
No, this is what He wants. Meliklosenke, okay. He's evidently not through. Bushgevelembrosto, bedevrastiene, beneflasete. For it's with, how would he say this? It's with foggy, mistied. Paul said it like this. We look through a bleak glass, smoky glass, at the mysteries, but then face to face. What are you, okay? Even what you know, you don't know, except through Me, saith the Spirit of grace. And when the enemy comes to fight you and to fight your flesh, it's not I that condemns you, but it is your enemy. And days or seasons are just periodical, busy times away from constant renewal. For it is I who renews your senses to my truth, saith the Spirit of truth. For what you see clearly now becomes oblique and misty the further you're dismissed from washings that come, that wash from you those things who heavily set on you by the residue of this world. And yes, mysteries can abide in you mightily, but know this, they're abated. They're abated and not fully seen except in the fullness of my presence, saith the Spirit of grace. So, as you enter into my presence, not only now, but on a continual basis, know that the things that you know will be of the value by which I have portrayed them to you, and they'll work great wonders inside of you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Even the man who knows the mystery of my love, which says, I cast out all fear. He may know, or she may know, that mystery and attain to it and attest and testify, yea, that is the truth. I know it is the truth. But it takes the Holy One who brings the unction of that truth manifesting in you in presence to bring the reality, the living reality of that truth to be lived out, not just in the senses where revelation is at, but know this, revelation and the presence of my glory work hand in hand to produce the one of whose image you are made in likeness of, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, so what value are the washings? What value are the times of presence? What value, unspeakable. Hallelujah. I think this by the Spirit. We're not through. And I think some of you would be serving yourself real good to come up, and not as an admission of anything, but just as a washing. I can tell you this, we can't get enough. And however you think that it might be good, it's 1,000 times better. He loves you. You might say, I know that. But when He kisses you, when He kisses you, you feel it all the way down. It curls your toes. And it makes everything. This is where Paul said, be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. How can a mind have a spirit? You know, once He kisses you, the very same thing, the very same knowledge that you had that was tormenting you and made you angry, you can look at it and wonder why it ever, ever had the capacity to turn your world upside down. Be ye renewed. If it only happened one time, then He'd say, receive. But He said, be ye renewed continually, constantly, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So why don't you come up here? Or if you feel comfortable there, it's fine. But slip up those hands. Let's begin to rejoice in who you are. If He's put one feather, if you come in here with one feather of not measuring up to what you think you should be, that wasn't Him. He's already told you that wasn't Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So let's just magnify Him and exalt Him for where He's taking us. I wouldn't even... Sounds like He doesn't even want you to mention what it is that needs to be changed. You can't look at you and be changed, but you can look at Him and watch the change take place. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So I'll just get down here in the worship pit, in the worship anointing. Hallelujah.
I praise you, Lord. I worship and adore you. There's not my
kingdom. It's a great qualifying. A great qualifying coming to the body of Christ. Know this, the distinguishing factor and the line of whether you are or you aren't able to receive. Getting ready for this last day outpouring and the reception of my Son to inhabit the earth. Know this, that those who go about and abandon themselves unto me will find the fixation of strength so strong that what once was their utter involvement in their own lives now becomes poured out on my ministry through them to the lives of others, saith the Spirit of grace. For this is the dividing line and the distinguishing place of whether or not you know that you're fixed. And if you know that you're fixed, you don't wander about in sheep's clothing and in dens and hideaways, spending your whole life trying to be fixed. But know this, that I want you to comfort them. For I have a family outside of these walls who do not know me. They're looking for a bunch of people who have abandoned their cares truly upon the Lord and are not spending their life daily trying to get me to come and fix them. But because they are fixed, they have the capacity to war and to run with an aim and a focus, not aimlessly, but with an absolute knowledge that they are ambassadors of the healed and the well and the fixed, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You're qualifying yourself this morning. Right or left. Oh, I'm not talking about where you're seated, but because there's five and five. And all ten's got the revelation that He's Christ. And all ten's got the revelation He's coming back. Five just kept mingling with the world and kept mingling with the world. And you know, the word is true. Your speech betrays you. How do I know? When you're with the five who is looking and they know they're not perfect. In fact, one of their ambitions is to try to find the way to lose the consciousness of self, because the more they go into Him, the more they find that the blemishes and the spots that He wants cleaned are still in a progress. But the other five, They think they're okay, but their mouth betrays them because their life is spent when you talk to them. 80% of their, this is what I'm doing on my job, this is how much I'm making, this is where we're going. Oh, gee, see that ball hit? That was what, isn't that something? Boy, blah, blah. The other, that five thinks the other five are weird because the other five want more of Him, and they want to talk about Him. They want His habitation. They want His cleansing. They want His washing. They want everything that He is. And He's coming back. But He promised that at His coming, there'd be five that would be into their world and into themselves. And at that time, they would scurry to get what the other five already had because they believed what the bridegroom said. I am coming back. Watch and wait. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep oil in them, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a one-time shot. It was a continual going and getting and going and getting. And the five said, Give what you've gotten. He said, we can't. We're called. We've got to go forward right now. We can't. Go if you've got time and buy. Because your whole world, but the problem is all they can see is their world. All they can see is their world. And they think the other five are religious idiots, nuts. That wasn't a distinguishing in the world. That was a distinguishing in the church. The five looked at the other five and said, we don't have what you have. I know. But it's a matter of choice. How you just say, I choose to sit in your habitation. I choose, Lord, for you to cut off ambitions and desires. Well, you must be a stick in the mud. You must not... You might call me a Renaissance man of how many other interests I could have and are free to involve myself in hobbies and habits of those good kinds of things. But yet I find that they are nothing unto me as in comparison to my want to find Him and talk about Him and be inhabited by Him and follow Him and go into Him. And I bet there's another virgins like that here. Hallelujah. Well, we're all virgins, yeah, but you're either part of one five or the other five.
Jesus.
And that's all up to you. Well, I'm saved. I know it, but the fact of the matter is, He and you, I've got a revelation. I know it. But your revelation's got mold all over it. It's got mold on it. If you're not fellowshipping with Him on a continual basis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hello, virgins. Hello, five wise virgins. Why don't you go hug some other wise virgins? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. What a habitation. Praise you, Jesus. So we've been confessing that for years. Somebody's saying, what is a habitation? It's His presence. He inhabits the praises of His people. He comes to dwell in. And so our confession for years is that it's so strong that when they drive on the property, hallelujah. And we've had people come in. There was a woman come in a few weeks ago or about a month or so ago. And she started crying when she come in. I haven't seen her before or since. I hope she'll come back sometime. I think that's kind of more an amazing to me than most anything. But in the outpouring, it'll stick. What part's amazing? When they come in, they get... People walk in and they start melting, weeping. That part's amazing. And she said, I heard this place had this in it. And my God, and she was crying so much when she got up here. They were introducing me to her. I was putting my... I gave her a hug. I said, okay, well, you just be blessed and you rest in it. So the part, though, that I hadn't got to that's amazing is how you can be touched by that and not want to come back. Through the years, I've had people come and, oh my God, I've looked for this all my life. All my life, I've looked for this. Can I join today? I say, no, just come back. And I would never see him again. It's happened more times than I can count. Well, weren't they sincere? Yes. But what they were looking for, what had them bound, just rose up in between the services. Well, the difference will be, and more as we walk in, the permanency of revival. So much so that a person that could come in with a, you know, one of those bad ones, and you will be my brother and all things will be forgotten. Because if he forgives, whatsoever he forgives, I forgive. Hallelujah. Well, Davy's not here last night. Last night she had a kind of tough. But I found out I got a boy. She wouldn't like that too much, except that several have come up and said, we understand. And you know, the deal is, I understand spiritual authority. So Esau was Jacob's twin. When Jacob got the blessing, and Esau came back and said just a few minutes later, bless me, bless me. Isaac said, I'll bless you, but I've already passed the major mega blessing over. I've already blessed your brother, Jacob. And so Candy and I and Watson, my son-in-law, whom I love, who is an avid Florida State fan, and when we walked out in the parking lot, he was not quick enough on his feet. And she being my daughter, I quickly laid hands on her and I said, in Jesus' name, I christen you a gator, in which he will always be now for the rest of his life. Hallelujah. He's already dreaming of blue, orange, and blue, and orange. Hallelujah. So I said, oh, buddy, you can do whatever you want to now. It's a done deal. Hallelujah. By la closete, I think the greatest thing is that you can have fun in church. That's one of the greatest things. You take things too serious. There's something that'll come up on that too. It really will. It'll fight you on a line. There's a place in him where a likeness is right. And that's the place we follow. Hallelujah. Tim said concerning Dave's likeness, when he gets, you know, corny or whatever, he said the that humor was the digestive enzymes of the Holy Spirit to help somebody be able to pull in and digest the revelation knowledge without, you know, taking it so serious that they in self tried to complete the journey. You can't do it. You can't do it. Hallelujah. Well, I was hoping and betting for the line-on-line teaching, but you pray all week and worship like you. And I don't forget, those of you that may have came in after a long drive, just by invitation, he said for me to say, and I did, Friday night we'll have a habitation service. Many of the songs that we play. We'll just have those continually play, and it'll start about 7:30, 7:45. You don't have to feel obligated to come. We're going to go as long as we can, as long as he'd like. And I said, don't feel obligated to come, because it's just a real leisure matter of choice. That's where worship's at. So we want to create a habitation. And the other instruction was, if you would, fast a day, weaken the flesh, pull it down. Some of you may want to go more than that, but that's up to you. And you wouldn't have to. If you, you know, couldn't, you could still come. Hallelujah. But we won't be coming in to, we won't be coming in for fellowship. It'll be to worship. Hallelujah. And to magnify Him and just sit in His presence. Hallelujah. Because He's wanting to do something. Absolutely. Well, we have a lot of wonderful services. We, excuse the language, we ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to come. He wants to break bondages. He wants to engulf us with sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Like we've never seen before. Like we've never seen before. And I'm extremely excited about that, for one. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I magnify you. I magnify you. Glory to God. This is all, I think, more than anything else, the peace of God. And knowing how elective this is. There's no penalty, as in, it's not what He's taking away if I don't. It's what He's adding if I do. Hallelujah. And I'm not subject. I know the emotions are out there, but I'm not subject to emotions, and you're not. Your emotions are supposed to become your servant and serve you. They were given to you to serve you. There's a lot of beautiful emotions, but they're not given to you to rule over you. And I can tell you this, if they show up, the best way to get rid of them, emotions, you cannot flip them like a light switch. You can make a stand of faith and say, I choose. That's the right way. Choose to stand on the Word. But if you have ever been in a battle with your emotions, and if you're alive, you have, you know they don't flip on and off, but they can be turned. They can be turned. In other words, if you continue to do what you're supposed to do, in the Word and in worship, your emotions will gravitate towards whatever you choose, which is a matter of choice, which in turns means you just wear it out. You calm. David said, I have calmed and quieted my soul. My soul is as a weaned child. A child sitting there misbehaving, just disrupting in the restaurant, just doing whatever. Now, if he was lovingly, a lot of them are abused, but if he was lovingly spanked, and the way you spank your soul is you don't sit in a place and let it rule over you and it says, don't lift your hands, don't worship God, don't go to church. Well, then I probably need a day off. You know, I know we've been going heavy at this and on and whatever, but maybe a couple of Sundays with some tanning oil at the beach would, or yard sailing would give me a break. Maybe you can just try too hard in God. Hello, devil. Hello, devil. Now, I'm all for family time and vacations and all those kinds. But don't go on a vacation trying to get a vacation. Leave on a vacation. Leave on a vacation. What does that mean? Live in one. Well, you don't know where I live. Oh, no, but I know what the Word of God says. And I know that you can wear. The only way that you change your emotions is not one. Emotions don't get turned by a one-time sit-down confession. That helps. But emotions change on you turning them like a big ship is turned. But the good thing about it is that once you get them all going in one other direction, it says, he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. So then when even things show up that shouldn't, you're looking at them through the one guy's falling apart, and you're looking at him, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. I can't stand this. And you're like, this will pass. This ain't. Are you serious? I mean, this will pass. And if it doesn't pass, then we'll pass on to be with the Lord and we'll be with Him. I mean, what's the deal? Well, I feel horrible and my emotions won't. Oh, listen, you wear your emotions out. That's basically it. You wear them out by turning them into the one who comes and fuels your emotions with life and light and joy and peace. And that is His presence. Hallelujah. As far as a devil, you do have immediate access by the Word, by the name of Jesus Christ. He said, by His name you'd cast out devils. So the blood, and this is kind of, you know, you'd say, well, this is nitpicking. Well, the way the apostles did it, they didn't necessarily, they spoke of the blood, but the blood was the backup. It was the power. It's what makes His name have so much power, because He's shed His blood for us. So this is how we cast them out. Well, sometimes I'll speak concerning the blood, and that's absolutely apropos. But the name of Jesus, by His name, I can change an atmosphere that comes into my room and it starts. I can tell if it's pushing against my emotions. But if there's something in my flesh that needs to die, then I have an old friend called the Holy Spirit, which is gives me over to praying in tongues and in worship and magnifying Him. And so he's scheduling these times like habitation. Well, we're going to start doing this. We've got to commit to it. No, we may not do it again for another 5 years. I don't know. Or we may do it the following week. All I know to do is to follow Him. Hallelujah. But you're not subject. You're not subject to the enemy. You're not subject to your flesh. He whom the Son has set free. The way you got free was what He was talking about was the new nature. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Well, what if they over there put a hex on me? Let's talk just a minute about witchcraft. Now, I don't scorn it and make it light of it like those things don't exist. But let's just go at the heart of a matter here. When people get overly involved in that, and breaking curses, and wondering what someone else has done to them, there's usually a spirit behind that, propagating that. And I'll tell you why. The reason being is because what that spirit does, it brings that person, whether consciously or unconsciously, into a sense of victimization. They feel victimized, like, somebody did this to me, or somebody put this on me as a child, or I mean, somebody might be working something against me over there. I mean, sometimes I'll listen to the Holy Spirit. I mean, you come to a city like this and start speaking revival. I don't know. Maybe there has been. And sometimes I felt like there has been a lot of words spoken by people that carry some kind of rank in another direction. But that's okay. The reason why I would listen and the reason why He'd cue me in to knowing that is just it could help my faith as a fixation on knowing what was coming. But let me tell you something. Here's what you've got to understand. Whether it was a spirit that was sent by a witch, a warlock. Now those things will come and do favors. That's all they're doing. They're doing a favor for that one that's sending them. Because they're wanting to take them to hell. And it's just a mockery of the authority of the Holy Spirit, because we pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit goes and does for us what we're asking. So it's a mock kingdom. But let me tell you something. Whether that spirit comes directly from a witch, or whether he found you just blatantly walking down the street, he doesn't have any more authority to do something to you or over you than he would whether or not he just found you and just as a blatant, I'm a devil, you're a Christian, I'm going to fight you and I'm going to see what I can get done. He doesn't have any more authority over you just because he's sent, or can he get any more done to you just because he's sent, than what you'll allow him to, or what's invested in your flesh by which he's using as some kind of door or anchor to twist things in your life. Do you understand that? I mean, I don't care if they're coming by witches or just the fact that they've recognized that I'm standing on planet Earth calling out for a revival. They're no more empowered by a witch when they come than a demonic principality that says, go and see what you can do to stop them. So people hunker down and they say, somebody might have, my God, you're not subject to them things. It didn't matter if they come by somebody or just they found you blatantly on the street. They can't get any more done in you unless you've got some kind of hole inside of you and you're messing around with the world. But if you're not messing around with the world and you know you're still needing to be changed, it doesn't matter if they sent them or they just found you and said, okay, I'm declared to go out. Somebody's commissioned me by a higher rank and go out and get them. They can't manipulate you anymore by being sent than just when if they were under the guise of go fight them. And every Christian's got a go fight them clause by the enemy. I've been born again. Every excuse is off. Well, they sent something. Maybe I'm acting like, or maybe they're in rebellion because of, listen, they're in rebellion because their flesh is running wild. And then a devil come and accentuate that sometimes. He'll come and get involved with their flesh. But the reason why he cannot, once you're born again, once you're under the blood, the enemy cannot push you, your family, your personal self any further than what your flesh will allow him to do. Whether he's been sent by the hierarchy of the hierarchies, or whether he just found you walking down the street and said, there's a Christian, I'm going to go fight them, fight their emotions. You think he's more empowered? No, he can't get in there except. So sometimes you'll stand there and say, I say this is what the Word of God say. You might get to heaven and find out that was sent. There was somebody practiced on you and sent something. But it doesn't matter. A devil is a devil. And they're bad. But you have authority over them. You're not victimized by them. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Glory! So what does that mean, Pastor? Because I've been trying for weeks to teach on family. And one of these days we'll get it done. But I think one of the things that he's wanting you to know more than anything else is you're in the driver's seat. You're in the driver's seat. Does that mean that things won't come? No. Does that mean that your emotions won't be challenged? No. Does that mean that spirits won't come to try to invade your privacy and try to impede and push their will and their heaviness on you, and a spirit of heaviness come, or a fearful kind of dread? He said, thou shalt not be afraid of sudden fear when it comes. You'll not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Now, this is the deal. All those things are yea and amen in Him. And you can say that, but you're a pretty mature crowd. You can say that to a floor of a convention center of just a given place where a bunch of nominal Christians come in. Now that's yea and amen to them. It's written to them. And they'll scream their heads off. I have authority. I have authority. I have authority. And they do. The only thing is the devil just keeps beating their brains out. That yea and amen, that secret place of you being able to access all of that spiritual authority and enjoy the benefits, is all predicated on whether or not you as an individual will step behind the veil and say, okay, I choose to know this one, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Oh, it's a blanket promise, but it goes down to the grassroots of whoever chooses to walk in an intimate place with Him. Otherwise, you can stand on the perimeter outside of that, get your brains beat out, and wonder which day is Sunday. I can't even remember what my name is half the time. Do you know people are so bogged down, they can't even hardly have a pristine thought from one to the next. They don't even, most people you're talking to are thinking about something else while you're talking to them. You think you've got their attention. No, they're so bogged down with the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches and the problems at home and something that's hurting their, you know, the owie in their body, that they're shaking their head, and the best they can do, they can divide about 50% of their pupil of their eyes looking at you. But the fixation, when Matt plays, never has there been a man more alive. Jesus, when you've got Him, you've got all of His attention. And He's fixated on you. And He's not worried about anything. And He knows that in 5 minutes, there's going to be some kind of holocaust, or there's going to be an earthquake in Haiti, or there's going to be, He knows all that. He knows a bunch of little kids are going to get killed in the next 10 minutes. I'm talking about any given time while you're communing with Him. But here's God. You have a habitation. And He's fixated on you. He's spinning that world out there doing whatever He can for anybody that's calling on Him. But you have His absolute, undivided attention, so that when you step into His presence and say, Abba, He says, yes. I'll lose my time in you, and everything that I said in Psalms 91 is accessible through your intimate fellowship with me. Come on in here. And the rest of the body is going crazy, and they're saying, you know, I don't know what you guys get out of this, because I'm still as worried and fretful, and I have suicidal thoughts all the time. And you guys keep saying in Him there is... Listen, sweetheart, you've never taken the nasty plunge. Once you take it and say, okay, I will see what it means to choose to live above and beyond my emotions, and just go ahead and just, you know, if you're fighting one of those kinds of I don't want to battles, then it's best, and it's not out of faith. It's not out of faith to know that what you've been used to is going to be what you're going to be used to for a little while. Meaning, once you make the quality decision, just go ahead and say, what's fixing to, you know, this sounds faithless, doesn't sound like faith, but it's really more faith to say, okay, I'm getting ready to go past this. So in the next few days, something's going to really, really try to probably push on me to keep me out of church, out of the Word, out of fellowship, but I'm garrisoning. I'm already fortifying myself to go forward, because I can tell you this: he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. So what He's garrisoning us up for, church, I can tell you this, is not for pie in the sky, everything's going to be fine. He's garrisoning the church up to walk in these last days with all of hell circling the camp. And people dropping out like flies. And even, sad to say, the church of Jesus Christ, who have not yet learned that Psalms 91 is an elective, it's not a blanket. And they step into that, and they're standing there eating a nice filet mignon and worshiping God, and all of the powers of hell are falling, and all of this is going on, and right in the middle of it, a great revival is taking place called the Last Day Outpouring. And they're looking at you because you've got inoculated against all of this by a reason of choice. It's not because the governments are going to get better. They're going to... It's not because... Oh God, I love it. 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 I love. And every time when I'm standing at a miracle game or a Gator game, or I've stood in my own room and pledged allegiance as my team run out on the flag. But I can tell you this, if you think that is going to mature into a place where we're all going to sit underneath our fig trees and eat our grapes and say, it's been restored. Listen, there may come another. There may come one or two more kings. I refer to our presidents. There may come one or two more to help us induce the world as a whole. We're getting ready for a great outpouring. And the miracle of miracles is that we who enter into this last day call will sit in the middle of what people believe they cannot sit in and enjoy the luxury of peace and grace and glory, because we're not subject to the devils of this world, and we're not subject to the flesh of this world, and we've not become victimized by what somebody has said against us or what our own flesh says. Nope, you can go that far, but no further. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't you just receive what He's been saying to you? Listen, there's no boast in what I'm saying. The only thing I'm saying it by is the one I've found to be faithful and true. Even us standing up against the enemy. There's no fear in that, but there's no self-boast in it. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And besides for that, you've got a tongue, and if you've been filled with the Spirit, the more you pray in tongues, the quieter things will get. Hallelujah. The quieter they will get. So Father, right now, as I'm commissioned by the Holy Spirit to just release this grace over them, let peace and power and great love, oh Abba, Abba, heal the families, heal the homes, heal the marriages, heal the individuals, heal, Lord God, by them understanding, and many of them already do, that they are who You say they are. And so, Father, I release that grace to them now in Jesus' name. Peace and power and the great love of the Holy Spirit in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Everybody said amen. Amen. This is a time and a season for joyful war, saith the Spirit of grace. For many of you will find places that you'll penetrate past lines of defense that the flesh and the enemy has garrisoned against you in days gone by. And you'll push past with a rush of strength. As David said, I have been empowered to run through a troop and leap over a wall, saith the Spirit of grace. So gleste me. So take this time, and this is for all of you. Take this time to pull up personal prophecies and words spoken over you in days gone by, things that you have recorded and things I have placed in your heart. Did I not say in my word, did I not speak through my apostle and say, war, war unto Timothy, war with the prophecies that went before you, saith the Spirit of grace. Now is a time to relish those things in which I have spoken to you of yesteryear and presently. Take them and stand and confess and say unto me, thou art not a man that thou could lie. Your word has been exalted above your name. And know this, I will take those things and bring you into a great inheritance, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! I understand it. Amber was seeing something in worship. So you want to share that with us, please?
Good morning. My voice is a little raspy, so you have to bear with me this morning. I shared this with Mom when we got up and greeted each other, and of course she said, you have to share it. But while I was worshiping, I got up and I wasn't thinking about anything, but Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I'll close my eyes to try to remember it the way it came to me. I went back to a few Sundays when Mom had said about the faceless people and how, I know she was talking about love and how everybody's equal, but as soon as she said that, a thought came to me and I thought, I wouldn't like that. I don't want it to be like that when I get to heaven. I want him to see me. And it was just like this moment of bucking up and saying, God, I did so much. See me. And then I passed and I thought, oh no, she's talking about something else. He'll see me. And then this morning while we were worshiping, I was catapulted to this place and it was the most euphoric, wonderful place you've ever been. And as I walked in, I kind of came in from the side and everybody was worshiping and they were just, the euphoria coming out of the people was nothing you could ever imagine. There's no words to describe it. And I thought, oh, I'm here and he's going to see me. And I kind of ran up and tried to get in front. And he seen me. He acknowledged me. And he was happy I was there. But as I stood there, I suddenly felt the euphoria from behind me. And it was the people's worship. And he was so overjoyed. And it was almost like, we're mighty as one, but together we're unstoppable. And I ran to the middle. And I just wanted to get as far back. And I thought, I don't want him to see me anymore. And I started pushing people in front of me. And I wanted to be as far back with as many people as in front of me as possible. Wow. That's it.
Father.
Sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Power.
Oh, we receive.
Hallelujah.
We receive, Father.
Yes.
Alessio, Almighty Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That your prayer in John 17, that we would be made one. That we would be made one, even as you are one with Him. And even as we've been made one in Christ by that new nature, I pray. Oh, thank you for this, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. Exalt you, Jesus. Bless your name. Marcia, what did you see a couple weeks ago? I can't remember what it was now. Oh, the opening. Say that again. We want to rehearse what we're hearing. Stand up. Last week?
Yeah, last week I saw like just this opening up from heaven that was just a large, large circle, and I just can't describe it all, but just all this glory was coming through to us. It was just flooding down the light and the glory of God and just was being shed upon everyone, and we were just going from glory to glory to glory in the Lord, and God just so wants us to do that, and it's our choice to choose to just keep going into Him, because God doesn't have any favorites. It's us choosing Him. It's us choosing to spend the time. It's us choosing to allow that glory to permeate us.
Jesus.
That then it will flow out of us and reach all those round about us. And they really will say, what do you have? I want what you have.
Yes.
Because we choose to have Him. We choose to allow Him to so saturate us that it's not us, but it's Him they want.
Yes. The more you're blanketed by His love, the vision that Amber saw. See, I love you, and I know that the Holy Spirit can bear witness to that. But I don't love you like I'm going to love you. I can promise this. If I keep going into Him, I will lay my life down for you. And you for me. I bless His name.
When Amber said that about what Candy had said, I think it was last Sunday, about the faceless people, it reminded me. Last week, when Candy said that, the Holy Spirit reminded me that about a month or so ago, I was standing on my lanai and I was stretching and kind of dancing, you know, before the Lord. And I have a sliding glass door. And I was standing there looking, it was daylight, I was looking in the sliding glass door, but the way the reflection was, I was just kind of standing there like this. I could not see my head. All I saw was from the neck down. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's because you're my body and I'm the head. And when she said that, it just reminded me and it just blesses me how the Holy Spirit works in each one of us. We really are one spirit. You know, how He could show me that a couple of weeks or a month ago and then show her that. And it's just beautiful. That's why we are faceless.
Hallelujah.
I mean, He is the head. We are the body.
Yes. Hallelujah. Maybe seated just for a little bit more. And is it all right with you? I mean, if you get past your flesh, it's not wrong. It's right when the Holy Spirit gives a 15 or 20 minute exhortation, line on line, on the Word of God, by the Word of God, and encourages you to give. But then again, isn't it some kind of example to you what we're after when we'll spend the whole service prophesying and worshiping and all everybody testifying and then stand up and say, here it is. Did you enjoy what you got? This is where we're headed. This is a foretaste of things to come. And you get, in this life, one of the greatest honors to support something like this. It's a living example. And I praise God for your faithfulness because you listen to God and give out of the abundance of your heart. So Father, now, speak again to our hearts. Many have come in here knowing already, prayed. But Father, if there's anyone here deciding for the first time or this moment, then speak. And if they don't hear anything, let them out of the abundance of their heart, as the Word of God says, as a man purposes in his own heart. So I receive with them and the confessions I make and others with me on a weekly basis that all the monies we need, and you know that specific amount that I keep in front of you and the excess of it. Thousands and thousands of extras, Lord, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Have you had a good time?
Amen.
Would you like to bring this down and then give each other another big hug? And praise God. Next Friday night, or this coming Friday night. Okay. You're blessed.